Ani, bonjour, Sago Sigoli. And Mary Lou is going to read a review of Smoke Signals, the movie that was printed and published in Time magazine.
On the road, Indian style. A father long lost a drink and mysterious shame has died. Attention must be paid by his angry, damaged son, Victor, who is played by Adam Beach. A little odyssey to recover the body and to achieve some sort of posthumous reconciliation is arranged. Another view to Thomas, played by Evan Adams, whose life the dead man saved and his memories of him are much fonder, intrudes himself in a journey which eventually brings the young mourners to a new understanding of their shared past and of one another. Smoke Signals, which is adapted from some of his own short stories by Sherman Alexie and directed by Chris Eyre, who also does a cameo in the movie. If you go to see the show, you'll see that he gets off the bus. He's the very first guy. He's a big Indian guy. Obviously, worried that the stuff printed and the result of the whole movie is a shrewd portrait, sly, casual, yet probably authentic, of the principal's way the members of any minority to respond to an uncomprehending world. Each learns something useful from each other, and we incidentally learn something believable and warming about modern native life and manners. Smoke Signals could be more complex and compelling narratively, but there's a sweet freshness in his voice that's worth reading.
Big Wench, now at Mary Lou. And this is by Lewis Gray. Lewis Gray is a freelance reviewer. In a summer full of movies about catastrophic disasters and remakes, a small independent film about Native Americans is making the rounds and delivers an entertaining time for those lucky enough to see it. Smoke Signals, written by Sherman Alexie and directed by Chris Eyre, both Native Americans, is a movie about Indian humor, tragedy, fry bread, binge drinking, and a road trip to redemption. Like his books, Alexie has written a screenplay that sounds familiar as a powwow and tasty as a fresh piece of fry bread. Humor in the face of death, irreverence in the face of structure, and a story that explains more about how hope floats than Sandra Bullock could. In short, it's a film about two not-so-close friends who embark on a journey to retrieve the ashes of a father of one of the two whom left his family years before. It's the hows and whys that make the film so special. Indian films have always had one lingering problem. They were rarely accurate due to ignorance or bigotry. Even well-meaning films created either the noble savage, or some other inaccurate stereotype. Contemporary films about Indians were even more misleading. This film is not the definitive movie about Native Americans, rather a real story about Indians. Plus, it's funny, real sad, and insightful. Indian director, Indian screenplay, and a first-class Native American cast make this a special project. There have been other films, but this is the first to get a major distribution deal. Ranked by some critics as one of the 10 best movies released this summer, it sparkles with sharp dialogue and wit. It is probably the best movie made by an Indian, and it had a great cast. Adam Beach plays Victor Joseph, the son of the deceased father. He gives a good performance, but his angst leaves him little room to wiggle emotionally. Evan Adams plays his childhood friend. Thomas builds the fire. He is the narrator, watcher, and voice for those emotions too painful to say. He is a talented actor, and he makes the most out of his part. The supporting cast steals the movie. Susie Song, as played by Irene Bedard, comes across smart, sexy, and strong. She confronts Victor Joseph, painting a surprising and revealing picture of the father, Arnold Joseph. Gary Farmer is the Robert De Niro of Indian country. His immense talent is put on display as the absent father, Arnold Joseph. He has to play a character that is sad, tragic, comic, and drunk. No matter what scene he is in, it's impossible to ignore him. Tantu Cardinal, one of the busiest and most respected actresses anywhere, plays the mother with sad resignation. As Arlene Joseph, Cardinal brings the most out of her character, which unfortunately is underdeveloped. The real show stealers are Elaine Miles, Lucy, and Michelle St. John, Velma, the two quintessential reservation girls full of energy, humor, and resilience. They offered comic relief at key moments. Although not preachy, the movie does not condemn drinking nor treat it as some kind of rite of passage. In short, it treats it much like real life. For added Indian humor, John Trudell as DJ Randy Pione and Leonard George as Lester Falls Apart are hilarious as radio personalities giving traffic reports on deserted reservation roads. There are movies released this summer that offer millions of dollars in special effects, but none of them offer the kind of dialogue given in Smoke Signals. Go see this movie. Buy your tickets at the most expensive time of the day. Your investment will ensure future Indian films. See it twice. And yes, I just wanted to say in closing that, yeah, I really liked the scenes with John Trudell and with Leonard George. They were really funny. John Trudell sitting in a trailer broadcasting. That's where the transmitter is, the radio transmitter. And he's broadcasting from inside this little dilapidated trailer. And then out on some reservation road, I guess out by the boundaries of the reservation or someplace, Leonard George sits on top of a van, and he's giving road reports. And like there's one vehicle that comes through about every 4 or 5 hours or something like that. Is that?
Yeah, that was funny, especially because he's sitting on top of the van in a lawn chair, and I think he's got a little umbrella, and he's mm-hmm. got his hat on. He's just sitting there, just waiting. That's all. And the audience who's listening to the radio station are just kind of hanging in there, waiting for somebody to drive along so they can hear about it. And also they catch up on some gossip too, because he tells what their activity is in the car as they're going by, so people are aware of what they're doing.
Yeah, the dialogue between John Trudell and Leonard George was very revealing. Like it really, it's funny because that's how it is on a lot of First Nations communities. Even in our own community right here in London, you see a lot of that. You see a lot of people, kind of joking about how another person is doing and giving the news on how another family is doing and passing commentary that in this movie it was really humorous the way radio is, I guess it's a statement about the oral tradition, because it seems like everyone was tuning into the radio. And John Trudell, when you see the radio, you think of these big huge production studios, an on-air boost of a movie like Frasier. But when you saw John Trudell's radio setup, it was a trailer that was falling apart, and inside the trailer was the transmitter, his DAT player, I think there was probably a CD player in there, 8 tracks. I couldn't believe all the 8 tracks that were in there, and cassettes. I mean, that's the state of native radio in many communities. We have a sister station out here on the Onondaga First Nations, Oneida, and they now have a transmission of, I think, was about 15 watts of power, so that it reaches the whole community, the whole reserve. And all they had in there was, what, a turntable?
Yeah, they had a turntable and they had like a cassette player, and they did have a CD player because there were some CDs there, but there was only about 8 CDs and 5 cassettes, and that was all their music. But I've heard that they have more since then. But since the day we were there, there wasn't even chairs to sit down. There was a chair for whoever was DJing, but there was no chairs for guests. And they're looking for all kinds of equipment, but they're just starting off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think in time, though, you know, the more the music will be forthcoming, the CDs, all they have to do is start networking with some of these record companies and distributors, and any distributor worth his salt will provide them with courtesy CDs to play on the air, because it's advertising for them. It's promotion for them. And so that's just up to them to start to write to some of these distribution record labels. And also the fact that they're just a makeshift right now. That's how you have to start. You start small, and then you gradually build an infrastructure that will meet your needs. Because I know at Six Nations, that's all they started out with. They just started broadcasting from the basement of one of the vacant buildings in the town of Oswegan. And now, today, they're, they have a nice working budget that's funded by fundraising activities right on the air, like that radio bingo. But, like in the movie Smoke Signals, it seems like the radio station is supported because listeners are tuning in, and they have, looked like John had all kinds of music there to play. But it was good. I think more it's the spoken word that is really important. It's not so much the music, or it's more the spoken word, what actually gets relayed over the air. That's the statement that Sherman Alexie is trying to pass on, that the message is in our oral traditions, the message is in our oral wisdom, passing it on to one from one to another, and sharing that and passing that on to each other instead of hoarding it and being selfish with it. We have a responsibility to give it away, and that by giving it away, by that action we are actually holding on to it. We are keeping it. So we're going to, let's listen to right now, Jenny Lozon. This is from her New Voice, Blue Voice CD. Jenny performed at the Men's Healing and Wellness Conference last year. And just before her performance, I ran into some friends of mine. One of them was Monique Mojica, who plays Thomas Builds a Fire's grandmother in the movie Smoke Signals. And at the time that the Men's Healing and Wellness took place, I think it was in mid-August or late July, Monique had just gotten back from Coeur d'Alene, where they had just finished filming the movie Smoke Signals. And so I asked her about that experience, because Jenny was talking about it as she was introducing one of her songs. She mentioned that Monique had just been in this movie that was where the whole cast was Native, and that the producer was Native, the director was Native, the screenwriter was Native, and so what an experience that must have been. And Monique was saying that it was such a joy working in that kind of environment, that no longer did she have to educate the director, no longer did she have to educate and show the screenwriter what it is to be Native, that that Chris Ayer, the director, and Sherman Alexie, the producer and kind of director, they already knew. They already knew the sensibilities of Native people. And so there was no overt education that had to take place that Monique was saying that she has to do when she's on non-Native sets. When she's on a non-Native set, this happens all the time where she, and if they're dealing with Native issues or Native concerns, she has to educate them. She has to show them. She has to, spend a lot of time and energy teaching what it is about Native people that's unique to Native people. But in this case, she didn't have to. It was already understood. It was already an identity of that movie set that was such a joy, as she said, to work in. So this is Jenny Lozon singing Wabaki Bejig, Wabaki Bejig, here on Smoke Signals.